So last question about flow psychology. So flow psychology started with a psychologist named Abraham Maslow. And Maslow is famous for his hierarchy of needs, which is a conceptualization of a human being's motivation and drivers and needs laid out in a pyramid, where at the bottom of the pyramid, the needs are food, shelter, clothing. The layer above that is safety. The layer above that is loving and belonging. The layer above that is called esteem, which means having agency in life to be able to do work and receive recognition from your peers. And then the last tiny point of the pyramid at the very top, Maslow called self-actualization. And self-actualization, you could encapsulate in the idea of becoming your best self, living from a place of integrity and passion and purpose. And of course, everybody aspires to that top of the pyramid, but Maslow said you have to take care of everything below before you can get there. So if you have a block in your life, maybe you're struggling to have a healthy relationship. You're stuck in the loving and belonging layer. You can't move up. What I became fascinated with was Maslow's inquiry into what's happening at self-actualization. What is the mechanism of a human being becoming self-actualized? He wrote a book called Peak Experience, where he studied religious ecstatic states. So people in various religions that would describe this experience of absolute bliss, this feeling of oneness, the profundity of union with a power higher than oneself. And in his research, he found that a broad range of people were having ecstatic experiences, and it not only happened in the world of religion, it could happen outside the world of religion in totally menial seeming tasks as well as lofty pursuits. So Abraham Maslow's work then became part of the positive psychology movement, and another psychologist named Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi took that research and extended it, and he wrote a book called Flow. And flow is the current term to describe that state of ecstasy or union or bliss, whatever you want to refer to it as. Flow is akin to what athletes call being in the zone, or jazz musicians call being in the pocket, being in that completely transcendent state where you are performing at your best, you feel your best, and the experience is so gratifying that the action or activity that manifests it becomes something that you're willing to do for its own set for its own sake, pardon me, which Csikszentmihalyi calls an autotelic experience, or something that is worth doing just for its own sake, not because it gives you anything. So skiing is totally an autotelic experience. You don't get anything really except fun. And the fun is a micro flow experience. The macro flow experience is a altered state of consciousness where attention has been leveraged to its absolute maximum. And because of that, the brain has deviated resources to funnel attention into the achievement of whatever it is you're trying to do on mountain, be it drop a cliff or shoot a super narrow couloir or jump turn down a 40-degree pitch, let's say. So attention is the precursor to flow. And there's a fascinating thing that happens. It's not like the brain gains capacity, like it feels is happening. Quite the opposite. It's called transient hypofrontality, where the prefrontal cortex in the brain shuts off so that you can use your more efficient base brain or primal brain to handle the demands of the moment. So attention is needed for flow. When flow happens, the prefrontal cortex of the brain shuts down, and then you're just using the part of the brain that we consider part of your instinctual responses. And the hallmarks of a flow experience are selflessness. So, because your prefrontal cortex is the part of the brain that gives you your sense of self, and your sense of self is separate from what's around you, when that shuts down, all of a sudden your sense of you dissolves and you become one with the experience. Timelessness is another hallmark of flow, where time does weird things. It could be that you're doing something really technical on mountain, and all of a sudden it's like time slows right down, and you're able to think about a whole bunch of things in a fraction of a second and respond to circumstances really, really quickly. Richness is another sign of flow, sensory richness. The moment is so overwhelmingly beautiful. You can see, smell, touch, taste in a layer, in many layers of detail, way beyond what you would do normally. So, selflessness, timelessness, richness, and effortlessness is the last hallmark of flow. Effortlessness, meaning everything you're trying to do comes through you rather than from you. It feels like whatever you're doing is divinely inspired, that muses are working through you. And the outcome of it is you come out of this incredible state and you want nothing but to have it again. It's like a drug. In fact, the neurochemistry involved in the flow state comprises some of the most addictive substances the brain can produce. So it's a mechanism to reinforce behavior, I think, that propels the species forward. So, for example, why would a human being put a lot of time and attention into crafting a work of art? It's not something you can eat. It's not something that has a value that can be traded for something that you need to survive necessarily. But people do it because it's so richly rewarding. It elicits flow. Same for an inventor. An inventor pushes through boredom and obstacle, heartache, rejection, because the flow that he or she experiences working on their invention makes the act of working on it gratifying in and of itself. So you take a macro view of this, and all of a sudden it becomes obvious that human beings, being a species that innovates, transforms the environment, evolves in real time, develops a knowledge economy. All of that is coming from the behavioral motivation flow state. I think that's super fascinating. So flow is a big part of my training now as I continue to develop as a skier, a teacher, a yogi, an entrepreneur. It really is a discipline for optimal human performance. And I'm using it in my own life to become the best version of myself I can be. But also, when I teach people skiing, when I lead people in a yoga class, I'm using tools and techniques that I have learned training with the Flow Research Collective, led by Stephen Kotlier, to guide my students to practice in a way where they can get into flow. And in so doing, accelerate their learning and performance, just like I did as a 35-year-old going for the level four. So I could talk about that for ages, but I'm going to leave it there because I think that's all the questions you had for me. And thank you for asking. I feel really honored that you're interested in my project. I'm so stoked for everything Tuja is doing. And I loved meeting Britt, and we had a great conversation. I really hope to have the opportunity to collaborate with you guys this season. So bye for now, Ed. Have a great day. Talk to you soon.